Our reading today comes from John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Like us, the disciples were in lockdown. Like many of us, they were afraid of what might be beyond those fastened doors in the world beyond. Whilst our natural fear is about where the coronavirus might be lurking, their fear was from the people that knew them, other Jewish people who did not share the faith that Jesus was the Messiah, God's Son, come to set God's people free. Like us, the disciples did not know how long they were going to be holed up together in that room. True, they were together, but what were they going to do with all this time? What would they do when food supplies ran out? Where was God in this whole mashup? The next bit of the story goes on to say that Thomas wasn't with them. If it had been today, perhaps he'd volunteered to go and queue up at Morrison's, a mask over his face to prevent him from being recognised by those out to get him. Perhaps he just needed to get away from all the stress of the grief and the loss and needed to be alone, out on his daily exercise. The other nine disciples sat in a room confused about the reports that Mary and then John had given to them about Jesus being alive. Maybe livid that they thought that both Mary and John might be in some foul-tasting joke. And then John tells us, almost as if it were nothing out of the ordinary, that Jesus came and stood among them. Just like that, the leader of the group that they had been spending the last 3 years with, who they'd seen brutally executed just 3 days before, was now standing in their midst, offering them peace. "Peace? What kind of peace do you expect me to have, Jesus?" we might imagine the disciples to think. "We thought you were dead, and now you're somehow here, real, in this room. And by the way, how is it that you did that really neat little trick getting in here whilst the door was locked? We're locked down in here because we're scared enough. Now you come here claiming peace? Can I just catch my breath?" Characteristically, Jesus meets his friends where they are. He knows they're fearful. He knows this is a massive shock to them, even though he told them. And so, as with many normal folk in what Tom Wright calls the long story of God, there's a history of God and his messengers offering peace, not necessarily a sign of a greeting, but as an assurance. Remember the angels as they met the shepherds on that first Christmas. "Peace, do not be afraid." Shalom is the translation of peace. It's a Hebrew greeting. It means so much more to the disciples in this moment. As Bruce Milne reports, this is a considerably richer notion than the mere absence of stress, which tends to be our understanding of peace today. In its Old Testament context, shalom means well-being in its fullest sense. Shalom is life at its best under the gracious hand of God. And I guess in meeting in their great surprise, Jesus was wishing his disciples peace, shalom, wholeness in every part. And he bestowed total and immense wholeness upon them. In our new unfolding world of the now, may we know such peace in every part. May we know that as followers of Jesus in this day, in this part of the world, wherever we're watching this, may we know this shalom wholeness for ourselves directly from God the Father through his Son. On Thursday evening, we clapped for our carers, every one of them doing a great job. and yet every one of them made in the image of God. I wonder, even if someone doesn't know that they are made in God's image, that they can still imitate something of God through their lives. I mean, what's the point of God having deposited something of his creation that does not even show a little bit of his care, his creativity, his compassion? It made me wonder this week whether people who are doing shopping for folk who are self-isolating at home are actually being Christ bearers without knowing it. Each human is made in the image of God, and so no matter how dimly they may or may not be aware of God creating them, it doesn't mean they cannot bear his image, does it? For his disciples in that lockdown room, Jesus was saying to his friends, and so he says to us, peace. You can do this. And for some of us, deep inside, we're thinking, no, I can't. You don't know how hard it is for me to be cooped up and not allowed out and having to be with this person, perhaps day in, day out. And for each of us who doubts, perhaps Jesus is saying to us, nudging by his Spirit, who told you you can't? Receive my peace. Receive this wholeness of life in as much as fullness as you can bear. Receive my Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, the one who comes alongside. Because this too will pass. We trust in Jesus to always be with us, as Matthew's gospel ends with, to the very end of the age. And so we've been reminded of the disciples in lockdown because of their fear of others around them. We know that fear of who or might be around, perhaps not with this virus. And so we stay indoors. And in doing so, we obey our leaders, an act of faithfulness. And yet, like the disciples, we are reminded that perfect love casts out fear. The deep, deep compassion of Jesus, who offers us the gift of his Spirit as a guarantee that he is with us, never leaving us and preparing us for what lies ahead.